Raidieraksts drošinātājs. Hello, Trinu.
Hey, hey. Hello from Estonia.
During the last year, you have collected more than 430,000 euros in military help for Ukraine. What else Latvians should know about you?
My guys in Ukraine, they are calling me just like a crazy blonde from Estonia, because for them it's still really unreal that someone is helping them in such high level. About me, I work as a logistic in Estonia, and now since I started to volunteer for Ukraine, I'm already planning my fourth trip to Ukraine at the end of April. About me, what else? I have a daughter. I have two cats who are helping me because they are all the time represented on fundraising memes.
Uh-huh.
Before full-scale war, my life was different. I was collecting, I don't know, dishes, doing all kind of fancy stuff, going out, fancy restaurants. And when the war started and when I started volunteering, then everything in my life, in my mindset, has changed a lot.
I mentioned 430,000 euros.
Yes.
Total worth of the fundraising you have done. Is that you as one person, Trinu Perve, or are you part of a bigger fundraising campaign or a group of people?
I usually work alone, but I have like a sidekick in Ukraine who is Ukrainian volunteer. She's doing the part where we are buying the items from Ukraine. I am the part who is collecting the money. And we don't have anyone else beside us. I have just done different projects. I have helped different organizations, but I work totally alone in that level. I don't have a big team. I have just a group of friends who helps me like share. But in bigger picture, I'm a part of the movement, what is going on in internet, what is called NAFO, going against Russian propaganda with memes and making jokes over Russians. In that level, I'm a group of NAFO, and a lot of support is coming also from the members of the NAFO because they are represented in Twitter, where I'm collecting the money.
So, and the money mostly comes not from Estonia, but all over the world. Is that correct assumption?
Estonia is really, really small part of that because I am not related in that level in Estonia and volunteering world that work in Estonia and, I don't know, Facebook. I work in English-related Twitter and I tweet only usually in English. Estonia, support from Estonia is coming from only the people who are in Twitter. Because 1 year ago, our one big organization, Slava Ukraini Estoni, had a big scandals. Then this organization ruined almost all for the volunteers. Like, they were scamming a lot of money from the donations. It was a big scandal in Estonia and also in Ukraine. And it ruined the reputation for the volunteers. If I will try to collect money in Estonian side, they are saying me like, you are the next Slava Ukraini, you will scam the money. So for me, it's easier to collect money
internationally.
Yeah, internationally, because this Estonia is not giving me anything. I'm getting more like bad feedback. Even if I'm doing the good things and I haven't done anything wrong, I'm only getting bad feedback and it's nothing good is coming from there. So I decided to stay in Twitter and I decided to stay in international side.
Learning from this bad experience this Estonian NGO got into, do you provide some feedback to your donors? How does that work?
For me, it's easy. When I'm opening collection, people will know that they are donating for this unit, for this certain item. Is it a drone? Is it like winter uniforms? Is it a car? They will know. I'm updating in Twitter, like in online very fast, like how much is collected. And after when the collection is done, it takes some weeks or maybe even days. And we will publish the video from the guys. You will see it from the video, but they received. It's right away you will see. We will all the time publish video report from the units. Every time. Fundraising is closed. And the next thing will be video report from the guys. And if somebody wants to see receipts or something, then I can send those off. That's not the problem. Everything is with Katya. She's my Ukrainian sidekick. Everything is with her because she's not only volunteer, but she's also a lawyer who is working for Ukrainian government. So we have everything with papers under control. There is nothing shady going on. But it's now it's going on a trust because people know who I support. I support mainly like three main units, and then I have like four side units, in total like seven. People know who are my guys. They know what units I support. When they see my work in Twitter, they know that they have seen me going in Ukraine and like hanging out with the guys. It's not only that I support them from Estonia, but I know them personally. I have been together with them. I have spent my time together with them. That's also what my followers in Twitter, they know. If I will say like I'm opening a fundraising for, let's say, Kraken unit, then I don't need to ask the guys anymore to make this video request where they are asking what they need, because my followers know that it will go to the Kraken, and after the fundraising is over, they will do the video report right away when it's possible, when they have got the items. So everyone will see.
Is there still a question about the corruption in Ukraine, or people are satisfied with the way you work, they see the results, and you don't talk about it because that's not part of the problem in your activities?
From my side, I know where my items are going.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, to who I'm working, with who I'm working. I know where the items are going because I have met the guys. I have been together with them. I have no problem trusting them. Also, the units who I help, they are very humble. They are like, when I ask, do you need something? They never ask extra. They ask only based on their needs. They are never like this, oh, we need something, you know, I don't know, five night vision items. They never do that. And also, I'm very blessed because the units who I help, like the main three or four units, all the commanders are nowadays like friends with each other. We call us like a big happy family, and they also are helping each other. I can make an example when one organization gave ATV for one of my unit called Hertz. They were pulled out from action, and then my other unit, DPSU Luhansk, went to the Bakhmut. And then my Hertz guys gave their ATV, what they got, to the DPSU guys, because they didn't have a need. And DPSU, who went to the fight in Bakhmut, they had a need. So they are helping also in inner circle each other. I know I'm very blessed with my units because I'm hearing stories. I'm not saying that every unit is bad, but I have heard also stories when it's not going that well, or the guys are not providing like reports or videos from what they have got. Just everybody needs to find someone who will, I don't know how to say it, click with them or connect with them, and you will understand soon enough, are they like good people, are they honest? Since I have met my guys in person, as I have told, I don't know how, I am just very blessed. I'm very more like, I am honored to help them. They are amazing humans, and we have a very deep connection. Like, I had my birthday in February when I went to the Ukraine, and I had no idea, and I went to visit my friend in Kiev. And when I opened the door at the apartment, then my unit, Hertz, was behind the door waiting me. They organized me a surprise birthday party. I had no idea. So we have a very deep connection for now, like a family.
What's your feeling? Does the reliance of the unit depends on the commanders, what kind of personal qualities they have, and then it trickles down through the whole unit?
It depends a lot who is like in the front of the unit, yes. I know, like, I can say that in Kiev Air Defense, but I'm also helping. They made very big changes in structure. They changed old commanders, and they put in charge younger guys who are a bit over 30. They did it because the younger guys nowadays understand how important it is to keep eye on mental health. And this PTSD situation with the guys, all that, what's not talked about, actually, that there is a lot of stress, a lot of depression. I don't know how to say it even nicely.
Say it as it is.
Suicide rate is kind of high also in the units, because we can't imagine what those guys are going through. Only 3 weeks ago, my one unit, we lost with 2 days. When I talk about unit, the unit means I have like 100 guys under my hand who I'm taking care of one unit. In Ukraine, they call it rota. So we lost from 19 guys, we lost in a week 7. And it's hard. Even for me, I'm not with them every day. And it was hard. So we can't understand actually the pain what those guys are going through. But they are also saying like they can't take it anymore in their head. If you will start taking everything in your head, then you will just lose it. We are saying that we can't grieve. We will deal with the grief and sadness after the victory, because now we need to focus on those who are still alive. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to just keep those guys who I have with me. I'm just trying to keep them alive, because they have admitted several times without me, they will be probably dead, because they are buying everything themselves. This is one thing what a lot of people don't understand, that the defenders are buying everything themselves, starting basically from the socks until, let's say, night visions.
Two questions then now. How can it be like that? Especially we know Kraken unit is part of the GRU, I think now,
yeah,
right? Eider is also, we know those units by name because of what they have done, heroic things. How can it be that they are in a position of dependence on you, a crazy blonde Estonian?
They are on the position not only on me, they are depending on everyone. They are saying basically when, let's say it like that, when the full-scale war started, I'm not correct with the numbers, I'm just staying in scale level. Let's say the army of Ukraine was 100,000 guys. Now it's basically 1 million. How you think the government can cover everything, starting from the drones until, I don't even know what. What are we buying? Drones, FPV drones.
Cars.
We are buying cars. Yeah. I never have idea how much I will get those cars that are so needed. But since the army is so big, there's no way they can cover every unit needs. And those units who are having those kind of crazy blondes from Estonia, like I am, they are just lucky. There are units who don't have any kind of night visions or any kind of, I don't know, cool cars, and they're still driving around with old Moskvits or Siguli or however you call it there. Those are also frontline cars. Not everybody has those 4x4s from, like they call it, like from the Western world. Those are just lucky guys.
The second question, how do you feel when those units, the guys who fight in the front lines, say that we depend on you? Isn't that a abnormous pressure on you psychologically? You can't stop. There is no option for you to stop right at the moment.
Yeah, there is no option. Even if I would wish to stop, there is no option at the moment, because it's a big stress. February, I ended up at the hospital near heart attack condition because the pressure is so high. Of course, I blame myself when the fundraiser is not going that fast as I would like to go. But I also understand that everybody else is fundraising and everything is urgent. So I'm just trying to keep going or push harder. From my side, as I have told, it's maybe a blessing or not that the people know who I am supporting. All the time, the same guys, same faces, they have like a connection with my guys. I have made it sure that they will have the connection. I'm sharing their photos and videos and everything else also with my followers on Twitter. So people will have this connection or feeling that they know those guys. They are like their friends from long time. Just they haven't met them in real life, but they have met them in Twitter. And when they see the photos or faces of those guys, they will know, ah, yeah, those are the Drino guys, you know. Or this is the Drino unit. Because I have made certain, because those guys are also making good videos or are pretty good with social media, that I'm all the time using the videos, like Hertz unit saved kid, pregnant cat from the front lines who now got the kittens, and I'm sharing the stories of the kittens in Twitter so people will get connection with them, and everybody is, oh yeah, kittens, like, you know, living with the same page with them or seeing them or hearing about them. Or sometimes I try to stay positive in social media. But sometimes when I lost, yeah, it was also 3 weeks ago when we lost some guys in Kraken, and I just was devastated. And I this time I was thinking, like, people need to understand that this volunteering is not only like fun games and joy, that you will get, you know, the money and the fundraising done and then those nice thank you videos from the guys. But it's also a lot of grief, sadness, anger, depression. it's also related to the volunteering life. Do you want it or not? It's not only a positive side. It's very negative. Since a lot of money is coming from the States, I go to sleep around 2, 3 a.m. and I get up around 7 because I need to work. So my sleeping hours are very limited, or I take some nap in the middle of the day because otherwise I will just not stand up anymore. It's hard work to get the money. It's not like you will make one tweet in Twitter and then the money will arrive. You need to constantly tweet or put your time in tweeting, and it takes a lot of time and energy.
When people fly on planes, there is always this security demonstration before the flight. The main rule is that you have to take care of yourself first and then help others, because otherwise you cannot help anyone if you're, you know, out. In this sense, have you thought about that as well in your work, that, like you said, you almost had a heart attack? Do you understand that if you have a heart attack, there will be no more help? Do you think about that, or you just brush it away and now I have to still keep doing and doing and doing?
I was trying to take a break. I took like 2 or 3 days after when I was at hospital, and it didn't go well at that level. Even if I'm not tweeting or constantly doing fundraising in my phone, it's still in my head. It's not going away. Then I had already guilt that I'm not doing what I'm doing.
There might be a way if you would involve in your work maybe some other people. Why don't you do that?
I have some friends who are helping, but I am crazy perfectionist.
Okay, that explains.
I like to have control over the things that I'm doing all the time, because I have trust issues because of the guys. I don't want to fail them, if it makes any sense. I have learned in my life, the only way to get things done is do it yourself. Don't count on others.
Right.
You can ask help if you want, but at the end of the day, it's only me. And from my guy's side, it's only me for them. And me and Katya, from my sidekick, I mean, from the Ukraine. They don't have anyone else. They have only me and Katya. But when I talk like I have my own units, maybe it's better to explain. Let's say Kraken, the Kraken big unit, actually, is over 2,800 guys. And one unit is like a brigade is going, then they are calling it rotas in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of small units. So I am helping from the big Kraken, where it's 2,800 guys. I am helping one unit, one part of Kraken. I am helping from Kraken like 100 guys. It's same for Dipesu, who I'm helping. I am helping from there like 200 guys. I don't help the full DPSU, but it's like almost 7,000 maybe. I help a little part of the guys. Like every Kraken has a lot of volunteers, and every volunteer has like their own unit who they are helping. So I have one part of Kraken. I don't have the full Kraken. And it's also something what people don't understand when somebody is saying like, oh, you're collecting money for Kraken. They are already collecting money there, here, there, you know. And I'm trying to explain, yeah, but it's almost 3,000 guys. You need to realize that. It's same like the 93rd Brigade, let's say. They are almost 7,000 guys there. But somebody is seeing just, oh, 93rd is collecting money again. Oh, my God. That people need to understand the units and the brigades are big. And it doesn't matter if the unit is like with a big name with Kraken, they still need help because Kraken is a special forces unit. They are 24/7 at the front line. And if you are fighting 24/7, it means you're losing a lot. Not only like equipment, you're also losing a lot of humans. And being all the time at the front line means that they need everything. Easiest pieces, things what we are collecting, let's say drones. The drones are living in front lines 1-2 week. That is the reality. But they are saving a lot of guys. They are saving a lot of lives. People sometimes don't understand, but hey, you just collected like a drone for this unit. I'm like, yeah, but it's gone. Russians are shooting it down. It's the harsh reality. You just collected a car for them. Yeah, but the last one just got blown up again. The cars can live from 1 week to years, but you never know. Same for a drone. I'm not saying that every drone is destroyed with a week or two, but I'm saying it's really possible. It's happening. Amazing Ukrainians now have learned how to repair the drones. We already collected money to repair the drones. We repaired for the DBSU, the border guys, we repaired for them, I think, 19 drones. They went under enemy fire to get back the drones that were fell down, to repair those, because they are already feeling, the guys are feeling guilty that I'm overworking, that they don't want to bother me. And I'm like, what do you mean? If you have named me your official volunteer, then you can ask help. You don't need to be ashamed. They are ashamed. The need what they have is so big that they are like asking all the time something. They are feeling like I'm overworking. They are feeling like people are getting tired. And that's true. The amount of the donations comparing to the last year, it's drastically going down. Seems like the people have this war tiredness maybe. Like everybody is getting used to that, you know. Ah, there is a war going on in Ukraine. And it's same in Estonia. My friends before the war, who I had close friends, they don't understand me now. We have grown apart. They don't understand what I'm doing, why I'm doing, why I'm going to Ukraine, why I have Ukrainian friends. I have been told, why do you care when some random Ukrainian dies? It's not your problem.
Is it something you have heard saying to you?
Yeah. It's coming from my own friends. Or now ex-friends, because we don't have anything in common anymore, so we are not talking. When they are saying how they want to go on a trip to the, I don't know, Egypt or something like that, then I am thinking, how will I get money for the next drone for the guys? I have found new friends, my new friends in Estonia, only from the volunteer side, only volunteers, people from NGOs who are understanding what is going on in Ukraine. When I can say to my volunteer friends, like, are they in Estonia or in the States or in Ukraine? Like, oh, this unit has been, I don't know, in the front and I haven't heard from them 24 hours. And they understand that I'm losing my nerves at the moment because it's really bad situation when you're not hearing from anyone 24 hours usually. But when I will say it here and to my Estonian friends, they're like, yeah, I don't understand, you know, why are you so worried? I'm like, because silence is bad.
Have people accused you of being too extreme in this sense? Who are not volunteering, just people from your everyday life?
Yeah, I have not friends, but some people from my school or past have wrote me that they will unfollow me in Facebook or in Instagram because I am posting only war-related, you know, videos or posts or only anything related to the fundraising only. I have been told that I'm crazy and maybe I want to move to Ukraine instead of staying in Estonia because I'm already like posting a lot from Ukraine. So yeah, we have those extreme people in here who don't understand it at all. And mainly it's coming from those who are, sad to say that, who have some kind of Russian relations in their family. That's why it's easier still, as you have told, to fundraise and take the stuff what I'm doing basically in Twitter in English, because there's at least where people especially related to this movement NAFO who are very pro-Ukrainians. But in Estonia, I see a lot of tiredness, a war tiredness, a lot. People don't like the newspapers, you know, the news are not the front page anymore. And people, like, when you're going outside or something, the Ukrainian war, it's not in conversations anymore, but the war is going on.
You said that you take care, not all of the Kraken unit, but only small part. Is that a result of volunteering process where volunteers from all over the world who are eager to help, they have realized that this is the most effective way? You have to stick to the people you know, you've probably met or have dealt with, and you see that the people on the other side are good people, they are not going to rip you off or take for the money or anything for themselves, but it goes where it's supposed to go.
There is two type of donors. There are donors who likes to, you know, donate like to organizations. Because big organizations are just helping random units everywhere and answering to the requests. Single volunteers like I am, with who you will see who you are supporting. So Everybody can choose what fits best for them. A lot of people maybe don't trust single volunteer because they are thinking I will, I don't know, scam the money, and they will only trust like big organizations or NGOs. But the small volunteers, with them you will see who you are supporting right away, and you will see like the results of your donations very fast if the fundraiser would get done fast. When the first year was a full chaos, nobody actually knew what to do, where to do, who to help, then now it's like settling down, and I am lucky. If I need something, I'm also working together with other like organizations and volunteers. We volunteers also help each other. If we can't help each other with like financially or send money, then we are at least are helping each other that way, that we are sharing our fundraisers in Twitter. Like, I have no problem when my other friend is also collecting for a car at the same time when I'm collecting for a car. I'm still sharing her or his fundraising also in my Twitter, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who will get the money. At the end of the day, it matters that the help will go to Ukraine.
There are 7 units under your wing, let's say, let's put it like that. How did you end up with exactly these units?
My friend from States was asking a year ago, a Kraken unit needs help. So I was like, oh, I love Kraken. I love Kraken unit. Of course, what do you need? I will help you. So I was like, I will help you with one fundraiser. And I helped to collect him a car pretty fast. I think it was in 2 days we had like 8,000 euros to get the car for them. And then a week passed and she was like, yeah, but Kraken needs radios. I was like, okay, I will help you with the radios then.
You got sucked
in. Yeah, I got sucked in. And then she introduced me her friend Katya, who is now my sidekick in Ukraine. And basically those units were like looked up by Katya. And now, I don't know, they are my family, I'm their family, so there's no way out anymore. Also, my other friend, Estonian guy, Raivo, he helped Kiev Air Defense and Kherson Air Defense, and that's how I got them also. We helped them with cars, and but they are my like a side unit. They are not the main focus, is still this IDAR, TPSU, Hertz, and Kraken. They are my 4. And I even have a hoodie from the guys where it's like 4 unit logos, and under that is written mother of the units.
But what does it mean, official volunteer? You say you're official volunteer. How does it differ from a regular volunteer?
Everybody knows if somebody is collecting, let's say, for the Kraken, then you can't just collect for the Kraken because there's a lot of scammers. So if you're collecting for the Kraken, you just can't open collection without that. They know who it is. If I will collect for the Kraken, everybody knows this crazy blonde Trino from Estonia. It's helping this specific unit. So in big Kraken head office, like my name is written up or my social media accounts are there up. So nobody can accuse me of scamming. Because when the first year of the war was, a lot of people decided, oh yes, yeah, so easy, you know, I will say I'm collecting money for the Kraken or Azov or whoever, and they were just started scamming. Official means that if you will go to the, I don't know, if you will go to the commanders and you will say there, hey, this Trinzo is collecting, you know, under your name money, they will say, yes, we know this girl, our volunteer. It's just like everybody in the units knows who I am. It's basically means that. And I have the right to collect under the guy's name. I also, we are sending, I have like units merch. If there are bigger donations coming in over like, let's say over 250 euros, I have unit patches, I have signed flags, other merch, but we are sending to the donors if they want. It's something not regular volunteers, not deeply related people to the unit. I don't think they will have this kind of like great and signed flags at your home, you know, you can hand out to the donors. And it all is showing that I'm very related to them. I have those Bodiakas thank you letters from the guys. Not that I'm working for the thank you letters or I'm needing them so badly, but just it's nice to have those. Because when I started, for me, it was really, 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 really hard. Show to the people that I am connected with the Kraken, for example. I was collecting for the Kraken. I did everything for the Kraken. Everything was okay. People are crazy in the internet. I say it like that. I need to maybe explain that. I got thank you note from my unit. They especially made a thank you note for me, custom made. And some crazy people noted in internet another Kraken regular thank you note. And they told my note from my unit, it's not correct, it's fake. That I'm not supporting actually Kraken. So when I asked from them, my guys, what is going on? They was like, no, we did it personally for you because we wanted to thank you. It's from our commander to you. My poor guys were in so bad situation because people in Twitter and in internet were going crazy that they went into the front lines. They lined up over under a tree and they made a video where they're saying that, hey, Trinsu is our official volunteer because people just went nuts. It's a lot of, you need to prove a lot.
There is a word of mouth, of course, also among the soldiers, and probably Kraken guys have told soldiers from other units that we have this Estonian helping us or something like that. I guess there have been requests from other units as well. How do you say no to requests like that? Because you can, of course, not help everyone, yeah?
I am saying no, and I have explained it. I'm saying no because I don't want to do something halfway. I want to do it like 100%. So I have, me and Katya, we both decided we will stay only with our guys. We will not take any more units under our care. To be honest, we can't even provide as much as needed help for the four units, what are the main units. So I don't even want to think about it that I will have like 10 units and they all need something. I will not ever even sleep or eat, I think. I have explained it to the units also that I am very sorry because they see how effective I have with my things, what I'm doing. But I have told, I'm sorry, I have my guys, I want to help them, I trust them, I know them, I have met them, we are friends, we are talking every day. I rather help them than go something and do like halfway. At the moment, it's still this volunteer life. If it's even hard, it still brings me, you know, joy and spark, and I want to do it. If it will be like something what I have to do it in this level, just you took the unit in and you need to help them, I think I will lose my spark and joy. I don't also want to destroy myself in that level that I will just work like maniac. Lose this spark and joy of helping what is at the moment then already because they have become my friends, to helping my friends.
You said you lived quite fancy life, collecting fancy dishes and traveling, and you could have said, oh, this is a sad situation, I'll move to Portugal, far away from the Russian border. What pushed you the other way? What was the instinct that said you have to do something?
Because we are all coming under Russian influence. And we all know in the Baltics, if Ukraine will fall, then we are the next, no matter the NATO or no NATO, we are the next. I don't want war in my homeland. I have no intents like leaving Estonia. I love Estonia. But I want to protect Estonia. Yeah, I think it's the only normal thing to do. Don't turn your head away. If somebody needs help, you will go and help them. I have all the time been this person, like if you see, I don't know, a homeless drunk person in Estonia falling on a street, then the only idiot who is calling the ambulance, it's usually me.
Was there any connection between you and Ukraine before the full-scale invasion?
We had some family friends there. Basically, no other connection. I'm a logistic. We had some Ukrainian drivers who I also helped. Like, they took their family here and they themselves went to the front lines to the fight. So it was basically the only connection what I had. I don't have some deep connection related to my grandparents or anything. I'm a full Estonian.
You talked about losing many friends that you had before the full-scale invasion. Let's talk about those people who have come into your life. Can you talk about those people, the positive side of the story, let's say?
Actually, now I'm even thinking there is more positive sides to negative. I have, I don't know how to call her now. She's basically my best friend. She's living in Kiev. Anna knows who she is. She's also a volunteer. She's doing a lot of medical help. She's like just now my sister from another mister, if you want to say it like that. And a lot of other friends. I'm saying I have now found the people who are sharing the same mindset that I'm having, the same ideas. We are helping each other. We are having the same fears, same jokes. If you are in a trouble, then you know who to call. And even if Ukraine is big, the volunteering world is small, and it doesn't matter, are you volunteer from Estonia, or are you volunteer from Ukraine, or from America, or forever. Basically, everybody knows everybody who is related to the volunteering for Ukraine, especially when you are active in Twitter. The circle is small. Of course, I know from the military side, I know more guys than regular, maybe even Ukrainians sometimes, higher level guys.
Have you met any Latvians in your line of work?
Not really. I have good relations with Polish guys. No, Latvian. No, not really.
Ex-president of Estonia, Tomas Ilves, recently praised you on Twitter. But at the same time, there are so many trolls. How do you deal with that negativity on social media?
I have learned in social media, believe it or not, the block button works very, very well. I don't need to be in real life friends with everyone. And I don't need to like every person on the street who I see. I don't need to be friends in online with everyone. And I don't need to like every person in online who I see. If someone is saying some nonsense, total, utter nonsense, I don't want to use the bad words.
Okay.
I have learned it's pointless getting on the arguments with those trolls and those people, because those who are seeing what they do and those who knows what they do, they will believe me anyhow. And those who are, I don't know, police, trolls, haters, whoever, no matter what you will tell them, they will believe only that truth, what they have in their head. You can try to prove everything or show everything or say everything in a nice way. But still, it doesn't matter, because they will be still those bullies. You can try, do whatever. In Twitter, I don't have mental strength to deal with those crazy people. And the second, I am just blocking them. Yeah, that's true. I just don't want to deal with them anymore. And since I know I haven't done anything wrong, I don't care. They can go behind my back, talk whatever they want. I don't need to deal with that. And also, something what a lot of people don't understand is that my guys are also using Twitter. I mean, my units.
Mm-hmm.
They see those comments. They know what I'm doing for them. They're laughing over that. They're like, what the fuck? Seriously.
So at least you have a good backup team, right? If anything happens, then you have quite many guys to rely on.
Yes, because this was this thing when I was in February in Ukraine. I was with my Kraken guys. We went to the shooting range. I went to the shooting range with military. They wanted to show me what they are doing. They wanted to let me to shoot to get the experience. Pretty normal thing in Ukraine, but people outside of Ukraine don't understand a lot. Also, there was a rule that if you go into the shooting range, you need to wear uniform, because without that you can't go. So I was wearing uniform. I usually don't wear anything military related in Ukraine. And they made a really cool video. And I had like 2 days I was thinking, will I publish it or not? Will I publish it or not? Like, and my guys told me, well, Trino, hey, you haven't done anything wrong in Ukraine. You haven't broken any law. You were in a shooting range with the military, under military care. Everybody was looking after you. They were like, don't have this fake shame over the things that you're doing in Ukraine. You don't need to be ashamed that you have helped us so much. We wanted to give you something back. We don't have, you know, money or whatever. We just wanted to give you something else back. So I spent the day with my guys at the shooting range, and they made a video of that. So I posted it finally. And actually, it went very well. There was only 2 or 3 like troll comments or comment like, if you are saying that Ukraine military doesn't have enough ammunition, then how the hell can you go to the shooting range and shoot? I can say that on that day, the guy from whose rifle I was shooting, he didn't shoot himself not a single bullet. I just took his place and I shoot from his rifle. But they need to shoot anyhow there because you need training. You can't just go to the front line, you know, without training in the shooting range. But they were there, yeah, all the time saying like, I'm having too much shame. Or I'm too scared what people will think about something, what I'm doing in Ukraine. But what actually is pretty normal thing to do in Ukraine. And they are also laughing all the time, also like people from, let's say, how they say it, people from Westerns, yeah, they're saying Westerns or people from the States who have no idea how Ukraine works are all the time trying to teach Ukrainians how to act in their own country or what is appropriate to do in their own country or what is okay to do in their own country because people from the States are thinking like that. They are feeling kind of like under the pressure. All the time someone is telling them how to protect Ukraine or how to act in Ukraine, even if they are not Ukrainians or they have never been in Ukraine or they will never be in Ukraine or they have no idea about east side or like how Russia has influenced us because they have never been under Russian influence. But they are trying to teach all the time to the Ukrainians, like, don't wear this, don't do that. It's not nice. I don't know how it was like, don't put pictures from wounded defenders in Twitter to get, I don't know, donations for them. And for every Ukrainian, it's totally normal thing to do. It's two different words, like, I don't know, going, like, kind of going against each other because the people from the west side, Ukrainians, are feeling they don't understand the Ukrainian mindset. They try to understand, but at the same time, they try to lecture and change them to be more like Western minded. But when you are there, the things are different.
Has the fact that you are not from Western Europe, but from Estonia, country that used to be occupied by Soviets as Ukraine, I don't know if you can tell it, but maybe you have heard from Ukrainians that people from this part of the world understand Ukraine better or act differently than people from Western world, even though both want to help Ukraine.
Yes, they are. They are saying that we from your side and Baltics, we understand Ukraine more and Poland. We understand them better or more, also the culture difference. You know, I have heard from the volunteers who arrived from the States, let's say, or from the Great Britain, that the first months in Ukraine for them is a big shock. They are not used with a lot of things what is going on in there. In army, no army, just on the streets everywhere. If we go from our side, from the Baltics, I don't know, same like being in Tallinn. I don't see any difference. And I'm blessed or not blessed. I also speak not 100% level, but I speak Russian. I don't speak Ukrainian. I understand, but I don't speak. The guys are willing to, I don't know how to put it, bend the knee maybe and speak with me in Russian. Because they understand it's the only, in English if they know, it's the only common language, even if we both don't want to speak in that, but we understand. But if you are going there as a, I know there are volunteers who are using translators because they are coming from the States, they speak only English, they don't understand this Russian influence culture and they also don't speak Russian. It's harder than coming from Estonia, understanding the background and speaking Russian, because at least then you can make, you know, stupid jokes or whatever with the guys and you will have a better connection. Of course, we are, if it's possible, I speak with the younger guys, of course, in English, if it's possible, if they understand English in good level enough, because it was like I was sitting with either press officer and we were speaking in English. And then I got the work call and I was speaking in Russian with my driver. And he was like, wait, but you speak Russian. I speak Russian. Why we speak in English? I was like, I don't want to speak in Russian. You don't want to speak in Russian. So we will keep continuing speaking in English. And he was like, yeah, that's true. They prefer English. But it's easy. If you go in Kiev, in every restaurant, in every public place, to speak in English nowadays. So I would like to say to the actually to everyone, if they are not scared of sometimes flying chassis drones and air alarms, at least go to the Lviv. It's beautiful there in summer at least. And in Kiev, you don't need to be crazy like me who is going to the front lines delivering medical aid and everything. You can go to the Kiev like a normal person. You can enjoy the beautiful Ukraine there. In summer, in or Lviv, if you have the chance, it's even safer. Lviv is very safe, very English-speaking city. In Lviv, I was told, if you don't speak Ukrainian, then better speak English. In Lviv side, they really hate Russian language. They really hate. And in Kiev, Russian language is not that welcomed. But if you go over the Dnipro and more towards to the east, then this language barrier kind of fades away.
Those people who have listened to the end of this interview, then they are probably really interested in what you have to say. And maybe they are inspired by you, a person who has collected almost $500,000 euros worth of help for Ukrainian military just in a year. What would you say to those who maybe want to do also something, maybe collect some funds? Any suggestion to our listeners?
First of all, if somebody wants to start something with like that, they, as I have told, they need to be ready. It's not fun and games. It's a hard work. It's hard work, a lot of tears, a lot of sleepless hours. But if they still want to start doing something, then first they need to have connections in Ukraine or with military or with some organization. And if somebody don't want to have that much responsibility, then maybe just look up any kind of NGO or volunteer near to you and start working together with them. And from there, if you will see that it's something for you, you can grow and start doing things on your own. But as the beginning, it's just to go into this field. It's not that easy. You need to know a lot of the military units, the rules, the border rules, how you can help, what is the paperwork, what is needed. It's just not like that, hey, I started to volunteer and here I am. But also you need to have relations. You need to know the unit who you maybe want to help, or you need to find yourself a trustworthy unit. But I would start first helping with maybe some NGO, some other person in your near to you in your city who is doing that. And then you will maybe feel or understand, is it even something for you? Are you ready for that? Jumping into the blind, it's not good.
Just this month, you wrote on Twitter that we try not to change, but this war has changed all of us, some more, some less. We will never be the same people we were before the war.
When before the war, as you told, I was valuing designer clothes, fancy restaurants, going outside on the parties, spending time, I don't know where. So now I value more my new friends. I value very much my time that I'm spending in Ukraine. Those shiny, blingy, fancy things are useless in my eyes at the moment. I don't see or feel that I need a lot of fancy items or clothes or whatever. I have learned that actually wear very less clothes, if I will keep it like that. I value more friendship, honest conversations. I value that now is like, I just value when my friends are alive. I value small things sometimes. I value time. I have noted and I know from my guys that everything in your life can change with the seconds. So just be honest, be who you are. The only thing what I have learned due to volunteering is also the same, like, it actually doesn't matter what other people around you who don't know you are thinking about you or speaking about you. The only thing what matters is what the people who are close to you, how they see you. That it doesn't matter what some random person in I don't know, in England will think about it, about me, because their thoughts or hate or whatever, it's not changing the who I am, or it's not doing anything to my activities. So, and I also learned that don't let hate and anger take your heart over. Something what is really hard to deal still when the Russians are killing my friends or the guys in my unit, but I can't let this anger take my heart over, because I saw that it turned me to someone who I actually don't want to be. So I understand when the guys are saying that don't let it inside your head, the anger and the grief. Focus on positive things that they are trying to do the same. Don't let any kind of anger or hate to inside your head and heart, because it will turn you to a very dark person. I was in very low place at some point during last year, and I don't want to be that person anymore. It was pretty scary. I let myself influenced a lot from all kind of gossip and rumors and drama and haters and no haters and everything else. And at the beginning of this year, I decided that I don't care anymore. If somebody wants to publish my, I don't know, our personal conversations or whatever, then they can do it. I'm letting everything go. And I did. A lot of good things happened with me after that. I mean, like, I went to Ukraine. I had my best birthday party ever from my units. I met a lot of good friends. I got the medal from the guys. One guy tattooed my NAFO fella under his heart because he told he has nothing else to give as a thank you to me.
I can't even imagine what that felt.
I had no idea. He just showed me the video and I had no idea. And the next day, I met this guy and I made a photo next to my little NAFO fella and me tattooed under his heart. It was totally crazy. I had no idea. But I'm just saying, like, if you will let the bad things go, then the good things will happen. It's main lesson what they have learned from the last year. No matter how hard it is, don't go to this dark place. It's not worth it. Just do good things, be you. And it's just easy saying that do good, be good, and the good things will happen. And turns out it's kind of true.
I remember I had to ask you one question that will only Twitter users understand. The symbol of NAFO is a dog. You said that you sometimes, in your promoting your fundraisers, you're using your cats. Are you not a traitor of NAFO?
Oh, no, NAFO now, we have cats and dogs and lizards and frogs and, I don't know, raccoons,
so
and everything. Yeah, I'm good. And NAFO has actually a cat division part also, so I'm very good. I have my NAFO figure also. I have made a badge for that and kind of limited stuff. Main of my guys are having my badge and they are sometimes making posting videos or stuff where they are holding my badge, or my badge is in the battlefield or my badge is in the front line. They love it. They have no idea actually what is NAFO. I'm sure the military guys have no idea what the NAFO is. When they try to explain it to them, they look me with big eyes and they think I have, like, you know, seriously, this crazy girl from Estonia.
If you could tell in one sentence, what is NAFO for our listeners?
NAFO is organization or international or internet movement that is basically mocking on Russian trolls and fighting against Russian propaganda. We have no leadership, no rules, no nothing. Just we have all the same kind of avatar. Bunch of people with the same idea who are making jokes over Russian trolls.
So, and the very last question that we ask to all of our guests is, what should we wish you personally?
That I will be more focused on one thing at the same time. I don't know, maybe I have this ADHD or something, but I'm like doing this and that and this and then five things at the, you know, all the time together. I need to have more focus on one certain thing, but from all the old things, the fundraising is my main focus, but something related to the work or whatever, I'm just like here, there, and then I'm just keeping forgetting what I had to do. But I need more focus. I need to be more focused on my own things to get things done faster, not to fly around from one thing to another all the time. Eventually, I will get everything done. Just, I know, if I will be having a focus, I will be probably doing some things a lot faster.
Many, many thanks to you, Trino, for taking time out and talk to Latvian Radio.
No worries. Yeah, no worries. Thank you for this amazing opportunity. I hope maybe it will inspire someone to do more. Or at least it will inspire someone to donate. I don't say you need to donate to me, but just help Ukrainians.
Great.
It doesn't matter who is getting the money if the help is going to Ukraine.
Great. Thank you.
Paldies divam par interviju ar Trīnu Pērvi.
Lūdzu, nav par ko. Vienmēr laipni. Es jau neko īpaši neizdarīju, tāds mans darbs. Jā, te es gribēšu pievērst uzmanību, ka Trīnu profils platformā X vai bijušajā Twitterī ir tas, kam grib pievērst uzmanību. Viņas adrese ir tātad x.com/trinzu. T-R-I-N-Z-U. Un tur jūs varat redzēt gan viņas līdzekļu vākšanas kampaņas, gan varat iesaistīties līdzekļu ziedojumos. Ja jūs to varat atļauties un jums ir tāda interese, varat redzēt, kur šeit līdzekļi arī nonāk. Un Trīna šobrīd patiesībā ir Ukrainā. Vēl vakar viņa bija Harkivā un pat ziņoja par sprādzieniem pavisam blakus, taču viņa ir tikusi caur sveikā ar izbīli un šodien jau sūtīja bildes no Dnipro. Šis ir viņas ceturtais brauciens, kā jau Trīnu intervijā teica. Un jā, piesakojiet viņai, un mēs savukārt Trīnu sūtam veiksmes un izturības vēlējumus, lai izdodas un lai tas darbiņš ātrāk beidzas, lai karš tiek uzvarēts.
Jā, nu man šķiet, ka tava saruna ar Trīnu vēlreiz apliecina to, cik ziedojumiem šajā karā Ukrainē tiešām ir ļoti liela nozīme. Nu, skaidrs, ka valstis palīdz ar miljoniem, ar miljardiem, kā nu kura var, bet nu arī, kā jau tu minēji, pat dažas netik daudz, kā šī sieviete ir savākusi, bet nu cilvēki tiešām dažādās pasaules valstīs mēģina savākt ziedojumus dažne dažādos veidos, un te vēl man prātā nāca nesenais piemērs no Slovākijas, kas tagad arī pēc jaunās valdības nākšanas ir nu, noslēgusies tā kā vairāk neatbalstīt. Tomēr Ukraina vairāk runāja arī par militāro atbalstu, un tad tur vairākas organizācijas ir sākušas līdzekļu vākšanas kampaņu, lai nodrošinātu munīciju Ukrainai, un tur arī, ja nemaldos...
Izdodoties ļoti labi, vai ne?
Jā, tur gandrīz 3 miljoni, ja nemaldos, ir saziedoti šai te Čehijas iniciatīvai par munīcijas piegādi, un, nu jā, ir gana daudz cilvēku Slovākijā, kas arī nepiekrītam politiskajam kursam, kas tagad ir uzņemts, un tad, lūk, ir saņēmušies un ziedo un mēģina atrast šādos veidos palīdzību un aizvest Ukrainai, vismaz ar munīciju, kas neapšaubām šobrīd ārkārtīgi būtiski. Un ziedojumi kā tādi, nu, tas ir ne tikai praktisks atbalsts, ka kaut kas praktisks tiek nogādāts līdz frontai, bet, nu, kā jau arī tavā intervijā atklājās, tas ir viennozīmīgi arī morāls atbalsts tiem, kas tur notur tās aizsardzības līnijas.
Nu jā, atceramies, karš nav beidzies, jā, karš ir varbūt pazudis no laikrakstu pirmajām lapusēm katru dienu, bet karš nav beidzies un Ukraiņi tur fronti, kas ir arī mūsu fronte. Mēģinam, ja varam atrast iespēju, kā pielikt savu roku vai nu naudas ziedošanā vai taviem draugiem palīdzēt viņu noliktavā vai Twitter konvojā aizvest mašīnu uz Ukrainu vai vēl daudz un dažādos veidos. Ja jums ir varbūt zināms kāds Latvijā, kāda organizācija vai cilvēki, par kuriem mēs vēl neesam stāstījuši un kas palīdz ļoti būtiski Ukrainai, tad atrakstiet mums, pastāstiet par viņiem un kāpēc gan ne, mēs ļoti labprāt arī stāstam un runājam ar cilvēkiem Latvijā, kuri dod savu artavu Ukrainas cīņai pret iebrucēju. Rakstiet mums, drošinātājsēt Latvijas Radio LV, turpat arī varat atstāt komentārus, vai arī soctīklos, ja jūs izsakaties, lietojot mirkļu birku drošinātājs, tad arī mēs pamanīsim un piefiksēsim jūsu kritiku, uzslavas vai ieteikumus. Bet tas šajā reizē mums arī viss, atcerieties, raidieraksts traumēšanas platformās nonāk ik ceturtdienu, savukārt Latvijas Radio 1, piekdienu vakaros 6.15, ir klausām tāda koncentrēta drošinātāja versija. To iesakiet cilvēkiem, kuri ir ar straumēšanas platformām uz jūs. Latvijas Radio 1, visi zin, visi mīl un visi klausās. Ok, tad sakam jums paldies un līdz nākamajai reizei un atcerieties. Drošinātājs, tas ir skaidri un personīgi. Par karu Ukrainā. Raidieraksts drošinātājs.